We'll go to the next question, however, which is from Richard Bourne.
Thank you. Yes, we want to see improvements in public transport in outer London, particularly, and there's some massive potential for improvement in the rail network and for further improvements in the bus network. What would you do to tap that potential?
So that outer London transport and buses, rail.
Thank you, Caroline. I mean, there's huge numbers of things we want to be doing that will really help outer London, the investment in cycling and walking and so on that I've talked about. But we want to look at things like expanding the tram in outer London. We've seen the success of the Croydon tram, which I still call it, Croydon Tram Link, the success. I was there when it opened, actually. I was working Croydon. But actually, we've seen the success of that. We want to see that extended. We want to see the Cross River tram back on track, actually getting the work done on that, getting it worked up so that it could be implemented when we can secure the funding. And I think there are other things like light rail. Brent Cross have got a light rail scheme. We'd like to see things like that explored. And one of the weaknesses, I think, of the last 4 years is that where projects were worked up, and fair enough, you know, different mayors will have different ideas, but actually you need to constantly have ideas on the go and have them worked up, be consulting people, so that when opportunities arise, you've got the project ready to go. And I think that's been a big weakness. We've lost huge numbers of specialist staff at TfL who could develop some of these schemes, such as trams, light rail, and all sorts of other plans. And that's what we have lost, that sort of vision for how we want to see the capital, not in the next 4 years, the mayoral term, but how we want to see it in the next 10, 20, 30 years. And I think investing in outer London is absolutely key to that.
Thanks, Jenny.
Well, agree with most of that. In fact, when I was working with TfL under Ken Livingstone to improve cycling in London, TfL came up with three schemes. The first was the bike hire scheme, the second was the cycling superhighways, and the third scheme was very heavy investment in outer London for four cycling facilities, whether for cycle paths, secure parking, just safer routes and better access. And Boris chose not to do the third strand, which is where we could have seen a real explosion in cycling numbers. And so, you know, it's great to talk about making rail services more regular and expanding bus routes and so on, but actually if we can get people off of public transport, we will need to spend less on those things and everybody is probably going to be healthier. So expanding cycling is a real option in outer London, and it's a real shame that Boris didn't do it. Boris is also, I think now, and perhaps Dick could tell us about this, is talking about road building, making road widening and so on. And that, of course, is the exact opposite of the way that we should be going in London.
Richard.
Well, I'll deal with the important part that the questioner put, which is about expanding and indeed, of course, maintaining, because the economy was left in such a mess that we could easily have lost a vast amount of the investment that we have had and that we are now planning to increase on the various modes of public transport. I mean, let's face it, we have maintained the bus network, 8,500 buses we still have, and that is our intention. And of course, we're building on that with the newer and cleaner buses, and indeed the new bus for London. On the railway network, the East London line, the overground, will at the end of this year be complete. There will be a whole overground which will finish up with the last portion being put into Clapham Junction. And so that's a very significant extra point. 18 billion pounds is being spent on Crossrail, as you know, and that will obviously free up a portion of central London, as well as extending that particular facility right out to Maidenhead and out into East London. The eastern area. We are also spending £54 million on the tram link, and although these two ladies on the end keep talking about the Croydon tram, of course it does go to Wimbledon in my constituency, and there is a vast improvement going on at the moment, and Most recently, I heard from TfL that there is the possibility, when funds permit, for the tram link to go through a different route and over to Sutton. Also, Boris, in this manifesto, has committed, when funds permit, to extending the tram link to Crystal Palace. We intend also, in seeking further funds from the Department for Transport, we want to see Crossrail 2. And that would obviously improve the access between Chelsea and Hackney. It's always been talked about, this Chelsea-Hackney line. I'm not sure that that is precisely the route that we'd want to see, but there's a good deal of work to go on there. I have always been a great supporter of extending the orbital railways as much as we possibly can. We know that there are a number of lines, and we've been told on the Transport Committee by Network Rail and others about the lines they use currently only for freight, and there are parts of the day when they're most certainly not being used as extensively for that freight use. Those lines should certainly be used for further passenger transport. And so on we can go. And I'm going to say also, I'm told by researchers that if TfL were to spend £15 million on river transport, then we would have a very much more comprehensive network than we do now.
Thank you very much, Val. Yeah.
I think the National Rail Network in London, or it's a suburban rail network, is our biggest underutilised asset. And the whole point of the overground project that Ken started, you know, when he took over the East London Line and the Silverlink North London Line, when he took over that franchise, was to show that actually, if you take the management of these lines off the commercial profit-making train operators and give them back to the public sector in London, you can improve the service absolutely enormously. And the overground service that is just, you know, Boris spent a lot of time cutting ribbons, the projects that Ken had started, that is the model. And we should now be going to try and capture, try and negotiate out every individual suburban rail network franchise in London, South West Trains, South East Trains, because if we can repatriate the profit that is going out at the moment to shareholders into service improvements, we will get a metro-style service, we will get better trains, we'll get accessible trains. And if you want to see how it could be, the overground network that goes down to West Croydon and you know where I mean, it is the model. We know we can do it in London. And it would be a great way of sweating our assets, because we are a growing population and we've got to get the best out of the infrastructure we've got already. And I particularly feel that from South London. So it's not just an outer London thing, it's a South London thing.
Thank you very much. I'm looking for hands with very short, pithy questions or statements about public transport. Okay? Okay? Well, come on, you're quite near, so that'll get you in.
Hi there. My name is Justin Cockrell. We talk about these plans, which could all be implemented fairly short term, but in the south of London, the population's gone up by several 100% over the last 50 years. What in the street on which I live, most houses had 2 adults 20 years ago. They've now been divided into flats and have 5 adults. What's the long-term plan? Where are we going in 20, 30, 50 years? Because I live in Clapham. I try and get on the tube at 8 in the morning and I have to wait for 5 or 6 trains. Now, I understand just 20 years ago, I could have got a seat at that time.
Hold that for a moment. So that's a question about existing and future public transport capacity or lack of. Question over there, please.
Hi, John Thornton from Hackney. I'm really, really angry because all this talk about how wonderful the Overground is and the East London Line. And Jenny's got a map there of the London Overground, which is an absolute lie. It's got on there slogans, the logos showing a wheelchair symbol for various stations. And I came via Canonbury and Highbury and Islington today. and there is a 10-inch gap between the train and the platform, and it says it's wheelchair accessible.
Yes, it does.
I challenge any traffic engineer or any politician to travel around on London Transport using those so-called accessible routes in a wheelchair and just see how they manage.
Very much. We've got public transport overcrowding, we've got accessibility to public transport, and, yeah, go on at the back there, please. Someone's running around. Jack?
What I'm looking to hear from the mayoral candidates is that they understand just how bad the potential crisis we have is on public transport in London. TfL's own figures are for the next 20 years, there's a 14% increase in London's population. So you'd think there'd be a 14% increase in the demand on public transport. It isn't. TfL's own figures are that we need to increase transport capacity in London in the next 20 years by 70%. 70%. On rail, it's 50%. Those are TfL's own figures. This is not something, you know, that's pretty arbitrary. I'm not hearing anything from any of the mayoral candidates that they actually understand just how much investment is really needed. Otherwise, we're just not getting on any tubes, any rail systems, or going anywhere. And that's the real danger to the economy in London.
Thank you very much. So we've just got two questions there, accessible transport and the sort of the congestion time bomb, if I might call it. Caroline, do you want to?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all got, and there's so much detail in all the manifestos, but the issue is about extending tube lines, making sure we secure the funding for Central, Bakerloo and Piccadilly lines. We haven't got the funding to upgrade those. But ultimately, the network is going to reach a certain capacity. There's only so many trains you can send through the tunnels and certain length of train before you really reach capacity. We've got a bit more to go, but there's only that. So actually, we do need to look at other things. And some of that is about reducing the need to travel. It's about making sure lots of services are in local areas, but the ability for people to work from home where they can. But also we need to look at more innovative schemes such as Smarter Travel Sutton, really showing people the different options and different ways that they can travel around. And I think reducing the need to travel is something that will be legacy from the Olympic and Paralympic Games, because so many people are going to be looking at how they can perhaps travel to work differently, perhaps working at different times of the day, again, spreading the load in terms of peak time capacity. And I think that's the sort of things we need to be looking at. But it is quite clear that we have got effectively this time bomb, if you want to call it that, coming up, that we have got to do more extensions to tube lines, more investment in buses going into town, which is a very cost-effective way of improving capacity, and looking at things like the river. I mean, Richard's touched on it, but actually the river could carry as many people as the Hammersmith and City Line, around 12 million passengers, but we need to make sure you've got the investment in and people know how to use it and how easy it is to use. So I think there's some of the things we can do to increase capacity.
Well, as Caroline says, it's not just a transport problem. It's a planning problem. It's a regeneration problem. And quite honestly, the way that the planning works at the moment, I mean, local councils are quite hampered about what they can do to keep their local high streets alive and even small shopping parades alive. And we've got to start lobbying the government to make some real changes to our planning system so that we can keep shops local, because at the moment it's incredibly difficult. And regeneration, of course, you know, what one of the plans that we have in our manifesto, which Ken has actually said he'd be quite happy to take up, is helping small and medium-sized businesses in a particular way, which is that we go to the bank where we keep our £15 billion budget for the GLA, and we ask them if they invest with small and medium-sized businesses. And if they say no, which they almost certainly will, then we'll move our money to a bank that does help. So it's a very complex problem. The Green Group talked to Transport for London back in 2000 about the fact that if they didn't get off their backsides and encourage more cycling and walking, then we would have some big problems by now. And of course, it is getting worse. So we need to, I want the Cross River tram reinstated. You know, that would nearly go past my door. That would so make my life easier. So I think we all come from South London, actually. And I mean, Caroline and I actually live in a particularly bad beige hole for transport.
Literally live in a hole. But
and not together. But you know, all we have is buses, basically, and it doesn't take much. It only takes one crash or an emergency vehicle somewhere, and you know, the buses stop, and then you are on, you know, it is walking and cycling.
You know, I thought we got a fantastic mayoral scoop there, didn't you? But it sailed on by. Richard and Val, I wonder if you could touch on the accessible transport issue, if that's all right. The question about
I have to comment on the investment, because the point was made at the back that did we understand? My God, do the four of us understand about the investment required? Because sitting on the transport committee, you know, we've examined the overcrowding of the main line trains, and I experience it every day, particularly Clapham Junction. I understand what you're saying, sir, about the problems in Clapham. I mean, I assume you try to travel on the Northern Line, and loads of my constituents are saying that the essential infrastructure improvements on the Northern Line have got to happen, the signalling and so on, to push it up from, what, about 24 trains an hour in either direction to 30 trains, which does relieve the pressure. But I do agree with what's been said about changing a pattern of living, because I think London, I think the projection is over a million, about a million and a quarter more in the next 15 years or so, and it is going to put on enormous pressure. I mean, I've made the point, we are talking about investing in transport, and it's important, and I'm going to have to say, finally, that anybody, any party, and we know which one it is, who's suggesting that fares are lowered, which is going to take about £1.2 billion out of the investment, is absolutely bonkers, because that is an essential hit on what is so desperately needed, which is all this improvement that we've all been talking about, whether it's buses, trains, underground, trams, and indeed boats. And thank you very much for the support.
Thank you. I'm still trying to get an answer about accessible transport, but Val, we'll just move on.
You know, the Mayor's capital programme is underspent, and there is an awful lot of money coming in on fares, which is above budget, and anybody can look at the books, and there is money to be spent there. I think, it's because nobody's actually bothered to look at the accounts, including your boss there, Dick. Get him to open the accounts and have a look at them.
All the independent experts.
The previous mayor had a transport strategy that went over 30 years, and it tried to tackle this issue of growth as well as, you know, environment, sustainability. And the current mayor came in and cancelled a whole lot of projects, and that included the Cross River Tram. Mm. Now, I believe you, I know you're right, that there is a need for massive public transport capacity growth in London, the whole of London. The point of the Cross River Tram and the extensions to the Croydon Tram Link, just as one example, but there were many other projects cancelled, like DLR extensions, was that it would have formed the core of a South London tram network, which is the Croydon Tram Link is actually the only 100% fully accessible public transport service in London. So new services bring additional benefits, actually. So, you know, I really believe that the tram is something we should be pushing forward and doing. So I think that was a great loss, and that's one of the things I want to do. On the accessible transport, doing the work on the Olympics, we've all been doing this work on the Olympic travel, has actually been quite educative, because one of the things I've learned about the transport industry is it often makes the best the enemy of the good. So in saying that they, you know, in order to deal with the gap problem, which exists on lots of overground and underground services, they need to kind of completely rebuild this, that and the other, they overlook the fact that sometimes there's some perfectly practical quick fixes. For example, you know, we went to a taxi rank where there was a mismatch, and if they just needed to put a concrete ramp up so you could roll your wheelchair or your scooter onto the top of the ramp, and then you would have been accessible. Same on a lot of underground and overground platforms. You could have a location where there is an appropriately heighted, or a number of them actually, when there's different services running, ramps. So there is a quick fix, and it isn't the perfect cure, but we could do that. And I think one of the things that we need to do is do a review that does not mean that we have to be investing another 80 million in every station. But let's see what is fixable on a relatively quick basis. I'd love to see, I mean, the overground network in London, that British Rail, National Rail network, at the moment is slightly more accessible than the underground network. But even so, if you're a wheelchair user, you still have to do this ring up 24 hours in advance and book a service, which is rubbish in this day and age. You know, so if you always had either a ramp on the train like you do on a bus at the back carriage or something, or if possible, a sort of fixed ramp arrangement or a swing ramp arrangement at one end of the station, you could maybe do something that would be faster. And it wouldn't be a perfect long-term solution, but would make life a lot easier now and be affordable.
Sorry, I'm really conscious of the time.
You wanted me to answer that.
I know that's great, and thank you very much. I'm just saying we do need to move on, I'm afraid, because we have got time constraints.